Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he invariably always offered us more. Today, let me introduce the Brieflies. Or we'll let them introduce themselves. No, I don't dare let them introduce themselves.
Been there, done that.
That's right. Guiding
the
us.
Learning curve is steep on that one, yeah.
That's right. Guiding us from the board of the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon and keeping us on course, even if it's into the treetops, is former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas devotee, and former military intelligence specialist.
Yes,
Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. That's an oxymoron for sure. I know that part. Good morning. I'm sitting here behind the big red switch.
And you're don't screw it up.
Oh, thanks.
Don't be dumb.
Thanks.
Okay. Good advice, huh?
Yes.
Zooming in from his home here on Vachon, above Burton, is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, our inexhaustible, because I can't pronounce other adjectives, defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can appreciate or at least tolerate. Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
You're muted, Kevin.
Muted.
You're muted.
Oh, it's I'm out of training. It's, good to be here on a August 1st day of the hottest month of the year, and I'm looking forward to seeing how many of my plantings from the land trust are still green and healthy. It looks like so far, you know, we're doing good on that.
Back on solid ground after many weeks up in the islands.
Yeah. We've gone from a cozy 300 square feet of living space to like palatial. So,
did you find that you had to get rid of your sea legs or get over your sea legs when you got home?
You know, it went away pretty quickly after I got home. I was surprised, but throughout the entire time, like I went out for some hikes. And it's like the whole terrain is moving around.
Isn't
it's very frightening how that happens. But I definitely had sea legs for most of the trip.
Good.
Well, welcome back. We're glad you're back on Vachon. Also zooming in from his home is historian extraordinaire, skipper of the Vashona, president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, party animal. I say that because it seems like if I'm not on the show here with Bruce, we're at some party together. And our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing well. We're having a deck replaced this week, so all the accompanying sort of distress that goes along with that. But other than that, everything's good. And super low tides today and tomorrow, so if you haven't, get down to the seashore and experience low tides on Vachon Island. They're pretty spectacular.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Joining us today for our small talk segment in a moment are Dr. Steve Nurse and Steve Ice. How are you two today, Steve and Steve?
I'm good.
Good is good.
I recognize this place.
Yes, you spent some time here.
Yeah, and it's good to recognize people that I know here, Craig and Truman and Bruce and everyone here. So that's good.
Good.
I'm doing great today. I love these August days all winter long. I think, you know, pretty soon it's going to be August, and now it's here.
I know. It has arrived. Yeah. Oh, which reminds me, I have a wedding anniversary coming up here in a few days.
Yeah, so. Me too. We have 14 days to be exact.
Right. My name's Craig Bellis, by the way, and I'm one of the Brieflies. I won't give you my resume.
Oh, come on.
No,
oh, come on, Craig.
No, I'm way too modest, Truman.
Yeah, okay.
Before we jump into talking about accessibility on Vashon Mori Island, let's take a moment to check in with everyone about what special things or activities they engaged in during the last week. Truman.
Well, I shared two events with you folks. You and I, Craig, were sharing an event. I'll let you tell about that. And Kevin, you and I, Craig, all attended another event, which I'm sure Kevin is going to tell us about. So I'll just have to tell you about my one little personal thing, and that is you mentioned that I'm a flight instructor, and I don't advertise and don't take students. Don't get me wrong. Please don't call me. But I do have a young man that I'm teaching, and I was able to get him checked out to fly in and out of Vashon Airport, which is a huge, huge...
No mean trick.
It's a huge, huge task, and he did a beautiful job. So I signed him off last week to allow him to fly solo in and out of here. So that was a big accomplishment for me.
If Cody is listening, do we have a flag we can put up when he's about to come in? Never mind. No pressure there, Cody.
No pressure, Cody. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Steve Ice, how about you?
You know, you mentioned anniversaries. As a matter of fact, last week was I and Lana's 47th anniversary, and we didn't do a whole lot. We took a walk on the beach down at the lighthouse, which is always enjoyable, but... It reminded me, it always reminds me of how long I've lived on Vashon, because just a couple of years after we got married, we moved here.
Wow.
And so a very pleasant week.
Oh, that's very Vashon. So, you know, and the captain, Wubbled, will be in here before the end of the show. You'll see him.
Actually, you won't.
He's out of town.
He's out of town, and I'll be engineering for him.
Yeah.
But he will be on the radio.
That's
right.
Yeah. He's back in the Midwest or something?
Down in California, I think. I'm wrong,
on all counts.
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong myself.
Kevin, how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I also recently celebrated an anniversary, 45th, and so that's always a special opportunity to kind of renew the relationship and make sure that we are committed to spending some time together. So after about 6 weeks on the boat, you know, we had a wonderful opportunity to go out and have dinner in Anacortes. So that was a good time. You mentioned... an event yesterday, Truman, we had the opportunity to listen to our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, talk about many things, how he had sort of reshaped the mission and focus of the Attorney General's office to focus on the people's needs. And I thought it was very compelling how he's been successful at doing that and gave us many examples. But I would have to say that even more spectacular than that, the Muckleshoot Canoe Journey is a gathering of tribes from all over the Northwest and literally canoeing from their lands, native lands, to Alki Point. That was just this last Sunday. Throughout the trip, we had a chance to stop in various places and see the canoes in their natural habitat for example, at Campbell River and so on, and talk to some of the folks who actually are planning to paddle those canoes. And then just the last couple of days of our trip, we launched out of Edmonds over towards, I want to say Suquamish, if I have that right, where they were planning to come in that night. And indeed, we saw a dozen canoes paddling from Port Gardner south and coming into Port Madison. Spectacular opportunity to see that. And they'll be in Seattle the whole week, I understand.
And some of those canoes are fairly elaborate, are they not?
You know, they're large, they're ocean going. I had never seen one under power, if you will. And it was striking to see. There was some good waves. I mean, we were out there, good foot chop that they were going through. And interesting also, the designs are quite different. And one of the Captain Saunier, who supports the canoe journey, amongst others, said he's taken a little bit of feedback from the tribes about how his logo on his flag doesn't represent their canoe. And as we saw these canoes, it's just intriguing how different the designs are. And I'm sure those are all built on, you know, that groups experience in the waters that they frequent.
Right.
So it's really great to see all of that cultural integration and the support that they got from a lot of folks.
Yeah, that's cool. It's important. Dr. Nurse, what have you been up to?
I knocked something, or at least planned something, off my bucket list. And I arranged to have a 21-day cruise, leaves from Seattle, winds up in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm going through the Panama Canal.
Oh.
And so looking forward to that. Interesting to us, we're talking about access. A lot of the places in Central America are not too accessible. So, you know, I'm going to get off the boat when I can. And I guess if I'm just forced to sit in the lounge and stay on the boat, I'll do that too.
Well, yeah, you ever tried gambling?
Interesting you mentioned that, because they actually offered me for this trip a suite, because I've gambled on the boat. So we'll see if they can't take their money back. But
hey, big spender.
Yeah.
I'm teasing Steve Nurse about that, because Steve and I have made many trips to Nevada, as they say, on the East Coast.
And really wonderful. It's been some really collegial things.
Yes, and lots of funny stories. Yes. But what goes on in Nevada will stay in Nevada.
That's right.
Hey, I just have one quick comment. And I was in Panama several years ago, many years ago, and got a chance to see the Miraflores locks in operation. They're the ones on the Pacific side. And fascinating. And boy, be sure and get out on deck and watch that. It is.
Yes.
It's
yes.
really interesting to see.
The ones on the Pacific side, on the east side.
On the yeah, exactly.
That's exactly,
exactly
right. Yeah.
Yes, that is right.
Weird how it's curled
it
around.
It curls around like the other way. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I read a book on the building the canal, and talk about getting literally thousands of people kind of digging holes. It was just pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that's
there was no Aisha around or that time. They kind of did it the way they wanted to.
Man trying to control nature. I think there's a book by that name.
Yeah.
Did you want to jump
Steve,
in before
I'm wondering
we get Bruce
if that
there?
Was, I'm sorry. I wanted to ask Steve real quickly if that was David McCulloch's book that he read.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. I highly recommend it myself.
Good tip. Bruce, how about you?
It's been a good week. Got to join a few of you guys at the Land Trust Big Sky fundraiser on Saturday evening, and it was just a beautiful evening. Mother Nature managed to bring in some cloud cover, so it cooled off, and it was really quite pleasant. So, and it was a great evening, so I so enjoyed that. And then tomorrow I take off for about 6 days with kids and grandkids to do a sort of Central Sound cruise. We're going to do Blake Island and Paulsbo, Bainbridge Island, Gig Harbor, that kind of thing, and then back on the weekend. So always a joy to have the kids and grandkids on the boat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I did two of those things. The one of meeting Bob Ferguson yesterday, and then hanging out with Bruce and a bunch of the Heritage Museum people at the Land Trust Big Sky gathering, which was a wonderful gathering, and a few other things. But I did want to mention that we finished up our Voice of Vashon raffle last weekend. I was selling tickets last weekend, and there will be a drawing at 4:45 this Friday. You need not be present to win. It'll be during Chris Austin's Mostly True show at 4:45 this Friday. And we want to thank everybody who bought a ticket or two or three or four or whatever. And we wish you all good luck.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we made our goal, which is really important.
I think we made our upper goal.
Yeah,
which
is terrific.
Which is terrific.
We really appreciate
it. We work on a shoestring budget.
Indeed.
So every one of those $20 tickets is significant
huge.
For us.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
I think that's everybody.
You weren't going to talk about our hangar concert?
Oh, of course. I have it here in my notes. Yeah, real quickly. Yeah. Rob Mosley, a good friend of ours, and Fiona Hope, I have a friend by the name of Michael Galesian, who is a spectacular guitar player. And he was doing a couple of gigs in Seattle, but he came on over and played a dig on Friday, and he was hoping that maybe he could maybe have another little gathering this weekend. So Truman and I said, "Yeah, why don't we set something up at the hangar at the airport?" So we had a hangar concert with Michael, most of those kind of things, typically the person plays for an hour and 15 minutes. 3 hours.
Yes.
with no required, admission fee. It was just suggested donation. He played and played and played. He is just a remark. And the acoustics, it turns out, in the hangar were just terrific. Yeah. So everybody was very pleased it showed up.
You know, it was a lovely afternoon, and people could walk in and out, and we had a few little refreshments set up, and folks brought their own, it was just some really a laid-back, relaxing afternoon.
It was. I was surprised there were no airplanes taking off for landing.
Not one.
On a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, okay.
That's all right. Okay, today. Today is a significant day, as are all days. Today is special. Tomorrow, probably special, too. Today is August 1st, if you didn't know. That's the 213th day of the year. 152 days remain. We're over halfway there, well over halfway there to the end of the year. How did that happen? It's National Girlfriends Day. Now, they're not making reference to old girlfriends. They're talking about women who have friends who are women.
Yeah, thank you. Okay?
So that's what that's all about. You don't have to go out.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Don't have to invite your old girlfriend out or anything. Because it's also Night Out Day.
Oh.
Yeah. Not Girls Night Out Day, but Night Out Day. It's Respect for Parents Day. Okay, and here's one everybody has to restrain themselves on. Truman's already not restraining himself.
This is
Grab Some Nuts Day.
Okay.
Because I guess they're full of omega-3s or something.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, grab on.
That's right. What happened in history today? 1834, the British abolished slavery throughout the British Empire. Although they did kind of replace it with the indentured servant practice, which was not that different. I ran into that in Mauritius, island of Mauritius, where the British brought zillions of natives from native Pakistanis and Indians and people from Central Asia over there to be processed and sent to the colony. In 1901, burials were prohibited in the city limits of San Francisco. And hence the city of Colma, which is just to the south of San Francisco, has more dead people there than live people. Not seriously.
Is that right?
More dead people there than live people. Wow. They moved all the people out of San Francisco, and people who died after 1901 had to move somewhere else, and most of them ended up in Colma, California. In 1911, Harriet Quimby passes her pilot's test to become the first U.S. woman to earn an Aero Club of America aviator certificate. Important day in history. In 1958, U.S. first class postage increased by 33%. Talk about inflation. It went from 3 cents to 4 cents. This one I got kind of a kick out of. In 1964, Big Daddy Dan Garlitz became the first drag racer to run the quarter mile in over 200 miles an hour. Today, there's a vehicle that runs the quarter mile in 400 miles an hour, a 28,000 horsepower rocket car.
Wow.
And last but not least, in 1976, the Seattle Seahawks take the field for the first time at the Kingdome for a preseason game against the 49ers, which they quickly lost. but they only lost by a touchdown, 7 points. All right, let's get on to the business of the day. Oh, yes, Kevin.
Craig, yes. I have to say, there's another important element of today. Today is the day by 8 p.m. to get your ballots into the ballot drop box.
Very important.
In front of the Vashon Library.
I have mine sitting in the front seat of my car.
And mine is in that bag right behind you.
Okay.
There you go. Don't forget. Ready to go.
Yes. Between the two of us, maybe we can remind each other. Yes. So maybe between all of us, we can remind each other. All right. Today on Small Talk, we're talking about accessibility. on the island of Vashon, Maury Island. Dr. Steve Nurse and Steve Ice are here, and they're working to make Vashon more accessible to everyone. Let's just start out real quickly and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourselves. Who wants to take the first lead? Dr. Nurse?
Yeah, I'll go first. And I did want to say, though, first, when you mentioned that about the land speed record, that was exceeded from someone going from town to the North End Ferry. That has gone.
It's been broken recently.
It's been broken, yeah. I've lived on the island since 1985, so I'm still a newbie and have loved living out here. My background, I'm a retired professor from Central Washington University, where I ran the Master Teachers Program, and have always been interested in disability-related issues, special education, done a lot of work there, and still do quite a bit of consulting in access. I am a person of disability. In fact, I got wound up in a wheelchair on my honeymoon in California 52 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, love being out here and nice to work with you guys. You guys are gems, too. You really are.
Thank you.
Well, while we're at it, put in a plug for your show.
Oh, yes. I also have a show on The Voice of Vashon, Is Abled, and doing some series on interviews with Vietnam veterans. Very personal stories. And I've really learned a lot. And also Bruce Hallman helped a lot on that and with the history.
And you've got listeners all over the United States and the world who tune into that show. So I've gotten feedback on that.
It's been kind of interesting because, especially with the issue of Agent Orange, and I've had husbands, wives call me from all over and say, you know, we're still dealing with that. And that's why we called it the 52-year war, because so many people are still dealing with it, and very serious. I don't want to start talking about that. You could spend a lot of time,
and it'd be worth it.
But I've really learned a lot myself. I think that's the best thing about working here at Voice of Vashon, and getting actually paid for it.
Paid for what you're worth.
Wait a minute.
You get paid? What time's that show?
It is Tuesday at 4:00.
Okay. Good enough. That's today at 4:00.
And we're doing the new series and some really good interviews.
All right. Well, Steve Ice, you got anything to say after that? How about you? What brought you to the island?
After graduate school, we moved back to Seattle. And my wife grew up in Montana, so we always liked the wide open spaces. And like Steve, I'm a person with disability. I have had visual impairments and sensory impairments since birth. And so we found a place on Vashon that is, you know, walkable to a bus stop in Portage. And at the same time, we can have 5 acres with sheep and chickens. So that was magic to us. And eventually went to work for the federal government downtown, where I worked with a number of small bureaus where my good fortune was to help provide grants to and projects to states and nonprofits, helping people become independent, whether it was developmental disabilities or children who were homeless or kids graduating out, you know, aging out of foster care, helping them find the skills and they needed to meet the challenges that they were presented with and become a part of the overall community.
You know, it's obvious the two of you are dedicated to public service, and I want to thank you for that before we go any further. I really do appreciate the work you do.
You know,
Let's set the stage here. Give us some perspective. You might talk a little bit about your general, you know, context of the kind of work you're doing, and also how it relates to the legal regime. I mean, there is the ADA, the American with Disabilities Act. There are regulations, state laws, and that sort of thing. But what is it that? How would you characterize your work and your goals?
Well, you know, Vacheron is one of the things I appreciate about Vacheron is its uniqueness and its country feel. But at the same time, there's additional challenges as a result of that. You know, you have businesses in barns and converted gas stations and various old buildings that are I love the quaintness of them, but you know they might have a 3-inch lip that prevents someone using a wheelchair to get in the door, or the menu might be scrawled in chalk where someone with a visual disability can't see it, and I'm very glad that we don't have neon signs and homogeneous sidewalks throughout the whole community to make it, you know, I'm glad it doesn't look like the typical suburbia. But I think there's a middle ground where we can have a discussion on how we can modify the environment a little bit to make it more accessible and just still keep its character. And one of the nice things about the disability process as this occurred. Steve and I both grew up, came of age during the disability rights movement and then the ADA. And one of the interesting things about this law is that it tried to prevent an adversarial relationship. The focus was on trying to create dialogue where, let's say, a business owner and a person of disability would sit down and have a discussion of, you know, what can we do to reasonably accommodate the situation? And I think people...
You know, one thing I think, too, Steve, that's kind of important to mention is that it's access is good for everyone. So, you know, we kind of focus on the person with the disability, but affects everybody positively. I used to have my graduate students watch a curb cut in downtown Seattle or wherever they lived. And I asked them, I said, I want you to keep a record of who uses the curb cut. Well, you might see one wheelchair in an hour, but you see lots of parents with strollers. You see lots of people that are elderly or may use a cane and would prefer to use the curb cut as opposed to trying to step off the whole thing. And I just think that that's universal design. It's good for everybody. And the access is real. That access piece is really important.
I think, a real visual example of that, for example, is the sidewalk on the east side of the main street here that I think you're all familiar with. It has a couple of steps and cracks and kind of pavement that's been moved around by the frost. And it's not just difficult or impossible for someone using a wheelchair. It's also difficult for young children. It's also difficult for someone who's elderly and to navigate that kind of sidewalk. And it's unfortunate that we don't have the ability to, you know, correct small things like that that are big issues for some people.
So my question for you, though, Steve, is who would be responsible? Should it be the store owner that's behind that sidewalk, or do you think the community as a whole? I mean,
well, I think there's... First of all, one of the things is that the regulations really say that now there's design, mm-hmm. so that if you build something, a new business, right. you have to you build it in that manner.
Right.
Both Steve and I have worked with King County quite a bit. We went through the whole town and everything here about a year ago and made recommendations. So King County does certify. There are, you know, tax breaks for making things more accessible. So I think it's also just people in the community just kind of being monitors.
Well, a perfect example of that, and thanks to you, Steve, we here at the Gene Bosch broadcast studio, we changed our door, our front door. And we found that, first of all, it's a much nicer door than we had before, but it is obviously considerably larger, and it's wheelchair accessible now. But we're finding that it's also really handy moving equipment in and out of the... so it's been a win-win for the...
I think we should refer to that as the Steve Nurse Memorial Door.
The Steve, yeah. Well, we hope it's not the memorial door, but yeah.
And I think people got tired of me knocking the door and scratching it as I went in, too.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. It really does work for everybody. For
mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned funding, and it's a bit of a hodgepodge. If you go down to center, southeast corner where VCA is, you have this beautiful sidewalk with a curb cut and everything, with a crosswalk that leads to Minglement and Lawrence Center's place and the Fuller Building, but none of those other three corners have the same have anything at all.
Exactly.
And that's because, of course, VCA was built later, and so. They probably had to do that in order to get approval for the building, but as a result, you don't have a system that works together.
Yeah, there's the rub. As I'm listening, it's clear that there are laws and regulations and ordinances, but they obviously can't cover every single situation. You got to use some reasonableness and common sense in order to apply these rules and look at what the purpose of these rules are and what you want to accomplish. It's not a might. I mean, on this island, you're going to get pushback no matter what you do. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, do you want to have concrete sidewalks like they have out in front of VCA on every corner of that intersection so that it does become... Well, you know, the question is that good? Is that what we want? Are the benefits, do they clearly outweigh the aesthetics? How do you respond to that?
Well, I think, one of the things that Vashon is talking about right now is that strategic plan mm-hmm. in the downtown area. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about denser populations. We're talking about Kevin's area probably using less cars and protecting the community that way and the environment. And to do that, you need to have planning and you need to have accessibility.
I really the thing that strikes me is that, and I you mentioned it earlier, Steve, Dr. Steve, so I can get you guys just straight. You have older buildings that retrofitting is a considerable effort. I mean, for example, I'm thinking of our Sunrise Ridge studio up at Sunrise Ridge.
Sure.
That's an old building, from the old Nike development here. And for us to make that ADA accessible would be a huge expense. And the engineering to figure out how to do that would be, hard to do as well. So I'm just wondering, how do we manage that? I mean, there's got to be some way.
Well, I think you make programs accessible. That's kind of the way the regulation talks. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to make every nook and cranny of every building accessible, but you make the programs accessible. We have a studio here.
Yeah, yeah.
That works for me, that we have the bigger door. Mm-hmm. And I think Washington, D.C. is a really good example of that, in that Smithsonian area, all those buildings are old and you want to keep that culture and that feel, mm-hmm. the character. And they've done it very well. you can use portable ramps, for instance.
Yeah, I think Steve and I do some consulting to help schools sometimes, and we tell them, you know, you don't have to make every classroom accessible. Mm-hmm. You just have to make every type of program accessible. So maybe you move the science class down to the first floor. And I think those are the kinds of fixes. I would say half of the things that we help people with are really easy fixes. For example, putting a trash can in a bathroom in a way that blocks the access. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on Vashon, maybe moving the sandwich board so it doesn't block the ramp that's 15 feet from the entrance to your your business. A lot of it is no cost and easy, but people don't generally think about it.
Yeah, those little things can make a huge difference, can they not? And they don't really many of them don't cost anything at all.
Right. You know, when I took my job at the Office for Civil Rights in Seattle, my desk was too low. So we got in the basement and found four old ceramic soap dishes and raised my desk up 3 inches, and that solved the problem. Wow. And I think that, you know, you can be creative like that. The vast majority, and I think sometimes it's important that we talk to people with disabilities and not do stuff for people with disabilities. Right. We have a principal that wanted 6 doors at the high school, not on Vashon, put in with electric doors. We went to the teacher that was in a wheelchair. She said, "All they really need to do is move the cart in front of the library door, and loosen the tension on it a little bit, and I can get through." And that's what. What we deal with, the vast, vast majority.
You know, you said earlier that you did some work, some consulting with the county.
Right.
And you went around Vashon and downtown Vashon. And did you have tips that you...
Right.
What sort of things did you tell them?
We looked at a lot of the sidewalks. And we did this work pro bono, by the way. We looked at the sidewalks. There's a lot of places here where trees have the roots are under the sidewalks, and the sidewalks are bumpy. I got high centered on one here. My service dog would not let me go by there again after. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was curious, have you worked with the Chamber of Commerce? I mean, have you worked with those folks?
I have not. We have not worked with them.
I would think that might be a really good resource.
And I am working with Community Council. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, those are really important things. The vast majority of accessible things that you do are a whole lot cheaper when you build it into the design.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the best accessible places are the places that you don't notice that are accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a 80-foot ramp out in front, that was probably a secondary thought.
I think you know, one of the things that makes this easier to do on Vashon is the inclusiveness of the community. Right. If there's an issue, I think Steve and I can just talk to the shop owner or the restaurateur or whomever and say, you know, let's have a discussion about this. Maybe you can help, you know, with a 2-inch threshold or something like that. If you're off the island somewhere, you might be in a situation where you're talking to a large retailer, and your only recourse is a long chain of management and threatening legal action and things like that.
Right.
So I think that we have the whole issue of solving things through dialogue. We're way ahead.
No question about it. Kevin, and then Bruce.
Yeah, and thanks for Steve for making that last point, which is sort of what was on my mind. You've mentioned that you've talked to King County. You've Steve, Dr. Norse just said that you've been working with the community council, Chamber of Commerce comes to mind, Rotary, you know, a group of business owners comes to mind when we talk about different businesses. When if people see it, if people encounter issues, given all of the people you've talked to, who do you recommend folks would go to first? You know, if somebody has an access issue, what's the first stop that you would recommend they make to have the most success in resolving that?
You know, I can give you an exact example of that. I think it's to go to the business owner. I sent a note to the people that have the new pizza place down there. And it's a wonderful pizza and wonderful place. But to get in, the threshold is big. And I just contacted them, and they said, thank you. We're going to work with that. And all it really takes is probably a 2-inch piece of pressure-treated wood to have access. And so they were very, very helpful. And I don't think people are doing things to say, we don't want people with disabilities in here.
Right.
It's just a matter of not knowing. Yeah. It's where you put a bicycle.
Yeah. Just not being aware, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I think the other thing is, you know, for the person who has an issue, they need to not be afraid to speak up and explain their situation. And for the person who's the shopkeeper, they need to kind of they're a little, maybe a little fearful too, you know, what is this going to cost me, and so forth. So I think there's a everyone needs to sort of take a chance on being vulnerable and listening to one another.
Bruce, did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I did. I thought maybe with Steve and Steve, if you guys could talk a little bit about the museum is in the process of redoing our permanent exhibit. And, you know, over a couple of weeks ago, we had you come in and sort of take us through and critique essentially what we're doing in the building. And to me, none of it was sort of earth shaking. We don't have to redesign the building, but it's stuff that we would have never thought of. And so it's a very positive kind of process. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that was really enjoyable, and we appreciated working with you all. Luckily, we had some good guides that the Smithsonian had come up with in terms of, display heights and circulation patterns and lighting and things like that. And it's an interesting... I thought we found a really interesting topic as a kind of a amalgamation of you know, people who know exhibits, but also people who are familiar with you know, the heights height the display has to be at in order to see it while seated in a wheelchair, or you know, the size of the font that is necessary for someone who has a visual impairment that's trying to look at an artifact that's in a display case. It's a fascinating area, and when it's done right, it's really allows the museum to be welcoming to everyone. So we really enjoyed the conversation.
I that brings up a question, and that is there some place that is that either on the web or, you know, printed material that give you some guidelines for a company or a, you know, an entrepreneur or whatever that excuse me, they can say what kinds of things can they do, you know?
We tend to use the what's called the ADAG, American Disability Association Accessibility Guidelines. Mm-hmm. And they're really very universal. They're very easy to follow, well written, easy to understand, and I think for the most part they're common sense. To give you an example, everybody is different. You know, Some people want something higher. Some people want something lower. In the regulations, there's a, it says right now, as an example, the height of a toilet seat should be 17 to 19 inches from the floor. Why is it 17 to 19? Because somebody, when they were making the regulation, wanted 17, and somebody wanted 19, you know? And the interesting story that I think is so important is when they were developing these regulations at the federal level, and at that time, Richard Nixon was president, and he had vetoed the Americans with Disabilities Act in Section 504. And so there was a giant walk. Well, it was people in wheelchairs, too, so it was walk in and roll in, I guess you want to call it. But they blocked the entrance to the Health and Human Services building. People in wheelchairs chained themselves to the doors. And so as a result of that, they were told, if you don't leave, we're going to throw you in jail. So they didn't leave. They took everybody there, and they lifted these wheelchairs into the police vehicles and everything else. And they got to the jail, and they found out the jail was inaccessible, and they could not get anybody in there.
That's appropriate.
So I think, you know, it's, but again, it's not people doing things, you know, Truman is just so right. It's just not having the awareness.
Yeah. But there are a lot of resources on the web. I believe it's just simply called ada.gov now, but you can call, and there are people who will pick up the phone and answer your questions, whether you have a restaurant or a shop or whatever you have, and you have a question about it. They'll send you literature and answer your questions, you know, without like some outlets taking all of your information in the process.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. So much of individuals who have disabilities can have a better life through many simple and easy to do things, you gave me a list of the kinds of things that you looked at, and I just wanted to touch on them real quick.
Sure.
Watch where bikes are parked and chained. Watch where tables and chairs are placed in front of buildings. Watch where sandwich boards are placed so they don't interfere with accessible route of travel. Use car blockers so large trucks and long cars don't block and move on to the sidewalk. In front of them, go on the sidewalk. If you use a wheelchair-designated stall, make sure you do not park over the hatched crosshatch space. The entire crosshatch space is needed for somebody exiting the van from typically the side. Only park in a van-designated parking space if you actually have a van with a side lift. When you make changes, consult a code or an expert first. It's much easier to do right the first time than to redo it. People who park in disabled spots are probably drive you crazy. They drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm only waiting here for a few minutes, you know, or I just dropped somebody off and I'm parked here for just a while. And there's nobody else around. There's another one over there.
And I always say, if someone wanted you to park here, there would be a different picture on the signage.
What would that picture be?
Well, let's just not say.
We're not going there.
Yeah, no, we're not. I think it's not one of the five words.
Exactly, seven words. Yeah.
But you know, it is interesting that, in fact, give a plug for one of our underwriters here, Dr. Rasmussen. He asked me. He said, "Where do you need to park? How do we?" And that's a building I go around the side. So I said, I get tired of, you know, going into the stickery bushes every time. So it's a matter of trimming back the bush, making a door that's accessible, putting some of those stops in so that people don't drive their car so forward that blocks the sidewalk. And I think it's a people-to-people thing. And I notice that's one of the things that, you know, Kevin does with his equity group, you know. It you know, you can force people to do a lot of things. That doesn't change their mind. Mm-hmm. That doesn't change their attitude. And you need to work with it and get people to understand. One more thing. There was a big rant in the Vachon rant thing just this last week on the sandwich boards.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you have too many at one space, what happens is they get moved around. You know, somebody bumps into them with a bicycle, they get moved around. It's just a matter of knowing that and setting them back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of simple and easy things. Truman.
Well, I just think that what you're doing is very, very important. And what we're doing here on The Voice of Vashon with the Brown Briefly is important because we're bringing this to people's mind. They may not be aware that some of these things exist. And by pointing out some very simple things, you can bring awareness to their situation or your situation and how easily it is to work together to come up with a solution. And I thank you both for your efforts in that toward that end. And thanks to us here at the Voice of Vashon for getting your voice out there. Yeah, Kevin, you had something.
Yeah, I just also wanted to amplify, Dr. Norse, you mentioned the work with the community council. And as you, many of our listeners know, I have spent a fair amount of time in those meetings. And one feature of them is that oftentimes a representative from King County will be there. Surprising to go to a meeting where there isn't somebody from King County. Issues have been raised about accessibility in that forum. And typically there's follow-up. And I was really happy to see that, you know, like somebody brings up an issue and a couple of months later, it's like, hey, thanks for fixing that. So yeah. I really like the idea of talking to business owners, raising awareness and having that community to really that community spirit to really address accessibility issues. But some of those issues might be appropriate, too, for the council. So thanks, Dr. Norse. Appreciate
you
bringing
that up. One
of
the things that I did, too, was I went and talked to both of the candidates that are running for the community, or I mean the King County
Council.
Yeah, King County Council. I talked to Teresa Mosquito and I talked to the Aragon, Sophia Aragon. Mm-hmm. And those are the people to talk to because they're politicians. They want the air. You know, it's a better time now to talk to them when they're just getting into the job as opposed to if they've been in there for 20 years. Easier to talk to. And I talked to both of them, and one of them certainly gave me all this information and somebody to talk to at King County, and we'll be working with those folks.
We got to wrap it up, gentlemen. Is there anything else that you want to bring to our attention or leave us with before we move on to the last few minutes of the show?
I just appreciate the opportunity of giving us a forum to talk about this with everyone.
It's our pleasure. Go ahead, Steve.
And anyone, I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. people can contact us. We're not mercenaries. We don't charge for everything we do. We just, you know, if it's accessible for everybody else, it's accessible for us. And we love Vashon. And you and I, Craig, have been through many back ways in Reno, many many kitchens and everything else just to get to where we needed to get. Yeah. So we'll do it. We'll
that work doesn't
with
sound them. Right. You know,
yeah,
running from somebody?
Yeah.
Hey, it has been a pleasure, and thank you for helping educate us all, enlightening us to the issues of individuals with disability and individuals that, if we're all lucky, we get much older and maybe have trouble getting around. These are all significant issues. Thank you very much. We only have, what do we have, five minutes left, and we have a list of potential topics to talk about that is long as my arm. But I'm kind of curious, we've been monitoring the internet to see whether or not an indictment came out today. That if it did, it hasn't been brought to the public's attention as yet. I have a feeling that the subject of that indictment might make it very clear about his thoughts on the subject. But having said that, do you think that Trump will be the nominee? And do you think any of the other individuals like DeSantis or Pence or Christie or wherever have any chance of being the Republican nominee, barring some major physical problem that Trump has, or a conviction, although even a conviction, you wonder if it would make a difference. Thoughts?
I see Kevin with a big smile.
How big is the grin on my face?
Yeah, exactly.
Darn good question. The pundits say it's so early in the process, but his lead is so immense right at the moment. And the number two guy, DeSantis, looks like he's fading fast. There's also the conservative money folks in the Coke industries are raising money to make sure Trump is not advance as the Republican nominee for president. So there's so many factors going on. I'm not willing to make a prediction. I do hope that the indictments and hopefully the lawsuits start to break through to some of the folks who are supporting him. I really don't believe he can win a presidential contest. I say that somewhat with trepidation because some people might go, oh, I don't have to knock on doors or make phone calls? Sorry. That's why he can't win, is because we knock on doors and make phone calls and make sure that we, come in opposition to the damage.
That brings up an interesting and related point. If you're a Biden fan, do you want somebody other than Trump to be the Republican nominee?
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Or the real question is, who's going to be the third party candidate, and who are they going to? Exactly. Take the most
who are they going to cannibalize from?
Exactly.
That's the real question, I think.
Yeah, I do have to say I'm rooting for Liz Cheney to come off the sidelines as an independent candidate if the no labels people come off the sidelines. It's really intriguing in this system we have. We want to call it a democracy and give access and inclusion for people who want to run at the same time. We know that can be disruptive and end up with people who don't represent the wishes of the majority. So, I don't know. It's three-dimensional chess, I guess. but I suspect it's going to come down. Frankly, I'm guessing it's probably going to come down to Trump-Biden, and I think Biden's going to win.
Bruce, did you have a comment? Then I was going to ask Steve Nurse. He had a comment.
Oh, go ahead and ask.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that, the big thing is to vote. People, I was just reading or hearing this morning that in some areas in Seattle, only 14% of the areas. I mean, I realize it's early, but, get your nose out there, no matter how you feel. And I also have to say, I have never seen Kevin smile this big. I mean, this is why Zoom was invented.
No, your point is well taken. It's amazing how low the turnout is in some places. Voting is a great privilege. It's not a burden. And it makes a huge difference, as we found out from our current Supreme Court.
Yes.
Let me just end up here. Let's see. Next edition of Brown Briefly, we'll have our Washington State Senator, Joe Wynn, with us to discuss the 2023 legislative session. So for Kevin, Steve Nurse, Truman, Steve Ice, and Bruce, I'm Craig Bellis, and we will see you next week.